Let's please turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 15, verse 1. And this is not one of the favorite chapters that people want to teach. But we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the Bible, and we're going to cover it. And as just a preamble, this is a chapter dealing with the law concerning bodily discharges. That's really what it's about. And in our culture, it's hard to relate to it because at any time, we can get a bar of soap and get some water and wash our hands. If we get a cut, if we get bodily fluids because we've been, got a wound or we got a burn or we got anything else, we have bandages, we keep it sterile, we wash it. Our kid comes in with a scraped knee, we wash it, we cover it, and it's just automatic. But think about it in the days before, you could just turn a little faucet and you've got water. You could go to the store and get a bandage. And I've been in Sudan where, I mean, for thousands of people all around the city in Nimile, the way they get any water is they walk to a pumping station. And they pump it. It's the women that do it. And they pump the water into 5-gallon jerry cans, plastic jerry cans. Oh, they didn't have that in Israel either. So what did they have? They had clay jars. They would have to go to a potter, get a clay jar, get water. And so when, kid comes in with an owie, how much of that water do you want to use? Knowing that you've had to maybe walk miles to get to a cistern, to get to a river, to get to the Pool of Siloam or wherever else you're going to go get water in a relatively arid place or go to the Jordan and come back home, you don't want to use a bunch of water, and people wouldn't have wanted to. But God's law is saying you've got to. And why do you have to? Because you have to clean the wound or you die. So everything about this chapter is all about hygiene. Bodily discharge hygiene to keep the people alive, to keep them from getting sicknesses, where the rest of the nations would have just let the wound stay open and let the bugs start crawling in and parasites and all the disease it was spreading. And so that's what this is about. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean." Yeah, you're going to spread bacteria. "And this shall be his uncleanness in regard to his discharge, whether his body runs with his discharge or his body is stopped up by his discharge. It is his uncleanness. Every bed is unclean on which he who has the discharge lies, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. Burn, cut, injury causes bodily system discharge of fluids. Somebody is so sick that they can't even get out of bed and they have to... they have diarrhea and vomiting and everything else, and just imagine that's what it's talking about. And so, whoa, all that's dirty. All that's dirty. All that's unclean. Don't touch it. Don't get around it because we know it is. We just simply just wrap it all up, throw it in the dishwasher, throw it in the washing machine, add some soap and everything, get the water to go in. End of story. But we do that. We do that because we know we've got to clean it up. And this is especially in light of some of the we'll get into the other discharges later, but verse 5, "And whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. He who sits on anything, if you sit on anything that's unclean, you're unclean. If you touch a body of him who has a discharge, you're unclean." What do we see, everybody, that when you're in a hospital situation and there's somebody's got discharges, or you show up at an accident scene, what do you see on every accident scene when they show up? What are they doing? Putting gloves on. Why are they putting gloves on? Because they know that just by touching blood from these people, they can get Hep B, Hep C, all these other diseases that could. And see, the Bible teaches us that God promised, and in fact, I'll just read these two. Deuteronomy 28:27. I'll just read this. "The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart if you do the immoral things of the nations that are around you." How are some of the diseases that firefighters and medical people are so afraid of? How are they spreading through the people? Through the immorality of sexual immorality, they're getting diseases. And in fact, now, if you're going to work in the medical field, you're required to get a Hep B vaccination, because otherwise you can't work, because it's so prevalent. And we know somebody that was a nurse, and she just got a little bit on her, and she got Hep B, hepatitis B. And that almost killed her, and she has to live with it the rest of her life. So, in Exodus 15:26 says the same thing. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So we live in a society where immorality is rampant, diseases are rampant, and so people put the gloves on that are in the medical field because they know the people could be unclean. If he who has a discharge spits on him who is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water. Do people have to worry about being spit on today? They do. And the Bible covers this thousands of years ago. And then it keeps on going. Whoever, the clothing is unclean, the vessels of the earth, that anything in the discharge gets into a vessel has to be destroyed. All that stuff is just common sense that we know about and do today. Verse 13, and when he who has a discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing, wash his clothes, and bathe his body in running water. Now, and that's hard to do again. That's not, get into the tub and take a shower. No. He might have to go to the, he has to go to the Jordan and get running. Why running water? Because running water is much cleaner than stagnant water, even a lake. The running water is going to be churning up, getting the oxygen going, and the oxygen is going to be taking care of the bacteria quicker than stagnant water. And on the eighth day, he shall take for himself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and come before the Lord to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and give them to the priest, and the priest shall offer them. The one is a sin offering, and the other as a burnt offering, so the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord because of his discharge. Now, man, why does he have to, do a sin offering? All he did is, cut himself on the job. Before the fall of man, everything was perfect, right? I mean, we don't know exactly what it was, but there would have been no injury, no suffering, no death, no disease, no anything. Maybe because of the tree of life, everything was just immediately taken care of with eating the tree of life. And so what caused that to not happen? Sin. And so really God is just saying, we should, in everything that happens, God, just thank you that you healed me. Kevin, why did you do that? It was just a cut on your finger. Has anybody ever died with a cut on the finger? And just, if it's not for the miracle of God who created me, I don't get a cut on the finger. And we yearn for the day that there will never be any crying, any suffering, all the tears are wiped away, and that's going to be when Jesus gives us a new heaven, new earth, no sin, millennial kingdom, no sin. And so everything we should all tie back in our hearts, thank you, Jesus, who's our perfect sacrifice for sin, not a turtle dove, but a Jesus. Jesus, thank you that I only have to worry about what this disease is going to do to me, because I'm going to go be with you. And we just love him for what he's done for us. And so that was even in the law, that people were always thinking, I got healed. I'm no longer discharging. Thank you, God. If any man has an emission of semen, then he shall, verse 16, he shall wash all his body in water and be unclean. Deuteronomy 23 implies that it's like, even if a man has like a wet dream, becomes in the night, has an occurrence in the night, and is semen a breeding ground for bacteria and stuff? Yes. So it has to be cleaned up. Everybody knows that. And any garment, any leather on which it falls on, it's unclean. Verse 18. Also, when a woman lies with a man, there's an emission, then that's unclean. Everybody knows that. Knows that there should be taking a shower, getting clean. If a woman has a discharge, verse 19, and the discharge from her body is blood, She shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean. Is blood a potential spread of disease? Yeah, absolutely. And so anything that's causing blood, well, a woman has to worry about that every month. And there again, a man and woman are sleeping in bed, and oh, it's, you know, the time of my customary impurity has happened, but then he has blood on, yo, you gotta be clean, you gotta clean up, you gotta be careful. But verse 25, if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, and really emphasize this, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies on, all the days of her discharge, shall be to her as a bed of her impurity. And whatever she sits on shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. What does this remind us of? Deuteronomy kind of covered this too when we went through that. What does that remind you of in the New Testament? The woman of 12 years. I mean, in the Jewish law, here's somebody that for 12 years is having continuous issues of blood. Not so severe it kills her, but enough that she's unclean. And the law is saying you are a biological hazard to everybody that you're around. And you have to be separated from the people for 12 years. She never has an unclean day. And let's turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 43. We read the same thing when we went through Deuteronomy, but it is worth just agonizing along with her what it was like. Luke 8:43. And she would have had to violate the law where she's required to say she's unclean, act unclean, not touch anybody. But she doesn't care about that because she is hiding all that because she knows Jesus is the Messiah. She's the fulfillment of Malachi where there is healing in his wings, meaning there's healing in the tassels of his garment. And so she says, I don't care, I'm going to get to him because he is God's sent Messiah. And now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. And why do you think? Why do you think God had it so that she never was able to get over this? For this. It's the same as the blind man. You know, who sinned? His parents or him? Neither he nor his parents sinned, but that the glory of God could be revealed by a blind man, never before in history, born blind, that now is going to see. But Jesus, you caused her to suffer. Unbelievable suffering for 12 years. Yep. And Jesus, you know, this is my take of it. And Jesus goes, yep. And her suffering saved other people's suffering, you know, minimized other people's sufferings for 2,000 years since then by reading this account. And you know what? She's not suffering anymore. And you know what? She's a child of mine because she had faith in me. And all things work out together for those that love God. When we're suffering, because we know our Master loves us and knows that we don't want to suffer, but he suffered on our behalf. And he asks his bondservant sometimes to suffer on his behalf, which is really to help minister to people that are likewise suffering, as it says in the book of Romans. And so she was suffering, and she came from behind Jesus and touched the border of his garments because Malachi says he'll bring healing on his wings. That word wings is the same as translated tassels when it was talking about the tassels that Jews would put on the bottom of their garments. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? He knew, but he wanted to make it all public. When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude throng and press you. Now, what is that telling us? She was touching people going through, supposed to not be touching. You know, what do you mean? Everybody's just in the complete crowd and she's working her way through the crowd. She's not supposed to do that. who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going up from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, as he's staring at her, we can guess, somebody touched me. President said, well, people, the reason she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason that she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. As soon as she said, well, the reason I came to you is I've had an issue of blood for 12 years. Boom. Everybody would have been going, what? You know, you're unclean. I mean, it's not recorded, but we know they're Jews and they're into the law and this stuff. And she has to declare it in front of everybody. She was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And as Dustin covered last week, you know, lepers were unclean. Lepers are the same way. You have to go around, cover your mouth and say, leper, I'm unclean, unclean. And you're never around anybody there too. And what did Jesus do with the lepers? He just healed them. He turns unclean to clean. All the time. So then he has this woman that he goes, well, she's not unclean now. She's immediately healed. Oh, wow. Well, she's supposed to 7 days go off and do this sacrifice and everything. But, okay, so Jesus made her clean. And then the next thing he does is Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, his daughter is ready, 12-year-old daughter is about ready to die, is dying, is dead. And what does he do? Well, you can't go touch a dead person. What does he do? He takes her dead hand and then heals her and brings her to life. So Jesus is all about making unclean people clean, dead people alive, blind people seeing, spiritually dead people alive and clean. That's his mission. And the law was just laying this emphasis on the uncleanness, and then Jesus comes along, and it must have blown the Jews totally away. Back to Leviticus 15:28. But if she is cleansed of her discharge, then she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean, and on the eighth day she shall take for herself 2 turtle doves, same thing. And Jesus didn't tell her to do that, didn't tell this woman of 12 years of issue of blood. He didn't say, like he said to the lepers, now go do what the law of Moses says. Go to the priest, show yourself to the priest according to the law, and do what the law of Moses requires. Well, it doesn't say that he told her to do that. Do you think she did? If she would have been a good Jew, she would have done it. And she would have gone to the priest and said, what are you doing here? Well, I've been an unclean woman for 12 years, suffering like unbelievable. And I am now healed of my issue of blood, and I'm doing this in accordance with the law. Well, how did you get healed after 12 years? You know that Jesus guy that you want to kill? He's the one that did it. I mean, there would have been so many people that he cleansed and did other things and healed. Everybody that had a disease came to Jesus. He healed them. A lot of those would have probably been bodily fluid issues, things like that, outbreaks of rashes and things that would have been considered lepers. And so we have to read between the lines to think there was a lot of people going to the priest saying, I'm here to do the sin sacrifice and the burnt offering of going from being unclean to clean. Why? Jesus, 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 Jesus. Man, what are we going to do with this guy? Should have worshipped him. Verse 31. Thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness, when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law for one who has a discharge, and for him who emits semen, and is unclean thereby, and for her who is indisposed because of her customary impurity, and for one who has a discharge, either man or woman, and for him who lies with her who is unclean. And now he's going to go deal with the cleaning up the nation's sin, getting into the Day of Atonement. And we're going to have to leave you to read some of this yourself, hit some of the highlights. But how do you deal with the uncleanness of people? And then God made a law about the Day of Atonement. It's in September or October on the Jewish calendar this year. It's at sunset on the 24th on our calendar of September. And It's a time where once a year, on the Day of Atonement, sacrifices are made for the high priest, makes a sacrifice for himself, and he makes a sacrifice for the people, and all the people on that one day feel like all the sacrifice is done for our sins today. And then they go about business as usual for the rest of the year, sacrificing when they do something, but then once a year, it's like a clean slate for the whole nation. And that's in Leviticus 16. For now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, which Dustin covered, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Now, I'm going to include these pictures on the website for this audio file because we don't make a video file of Wednesday nights, but you have the handout in your hand. And that one picture on the left is showing the priest in the holy place. There with the altar of incense in its normal place, which is in the middle, but towards the veil that separates the holy place from the most holy place, or the holy place from the holy of holies. And it doesn't show it in that picture, but on the left would be the seven lamps of the lampstand, and on the right would be the table of showbread. But you can't see it in that picture. And what he's saying, when he says, don't always go into the Holy of Holies where the mercy seat is. So the picture to the right, you see the Ark of the Covenant, and there's a lid to the Ark of the Covenant, that on top of the lid are the two cherubim, where their wings touch each other, making kind of a little arch there where the high priest is. And that lid is called the mercy seat. So the lid of the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat, and he's going to be... This is the one time a year that he brings the blood of the sacrifice for his own sins first, then for the people, and actually sprinkles it on the top of the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. And he takes incense, and you can see the little incense bowl to the right on the ground. Doesn't, you know, probably didn't put it on the ground. Maybe he did. But it's sitting on there because he takes the altar of incense, a bowl from the altar of incense, and he takes that behind the veil, and he says, if he doesn't do this just right, he dies. You've got to bring that incense, and what is incense symbolic of? Prayers of the saints. And he's coming in with the blood and the prayers of the saints. He's saying, God, I don't deserve to be in your presence. I don't deserve to go into the Shekinah glory area of the tabernacle. This was a room that had no windows, no way for light to come in, but he can see because the Shekinah glory of God is there. I mean, he would have really realized, I'm going into a light created by God's glory in this place, and I'm going to be praying really hard, and I'm going to bring the incense of the prayers of the whole nation that's wanting me to come in here to have the Day of Atonement. I'm coming in with the blood of the bull to cover my sins, to atone for my sins, because I am approaching God, is really what they're thinking when they're going in there. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. Burnt offering is, again, just, I want to do this to the glory of God. This animal is dying. I just am want to be a sweet-smelling aroma before God. We covered this in our earlier studies in chapter 4 and 5, 3, 4, and 5. He shall put the holy linen tunic, linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with the linen sash and with the linen turban that says holiness to the Lord. He's going to have his turban and his gold plate across his forehead. He shall be attired. So he's in full high priest garb. And except it doesn't say to put the ephod on and the breastplate. These are the holy garments. Therefore, he shall wash his body in water and put them on. So where is he washing his body? Laver of bronze. Most likely he's using the holy water, laver of bronze. He's coming in. I want to be clean. I want to be prayed for. I want blood. I want everything to approach God. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering, one ram as a burnt offering. So two goats is a sin offering, one is a burnt offering, and we're going to find out one of the goats gets let loose. One gets sacrificed, the other one is the scapegoat. And Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself. And remember chapter 4, for the sin of a high priest, it's a bull. And that blood gets brought into the tabernacle and put on the altar of incense and everything. And so he has to do a bull for himself. And that's again in chapter 4. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Here, Lord, these two goats are for the Day of Atonement. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. So cast lots, cast lots for what? In a way, the goat is going to get let loose with all the sins confessed onto this scapegoat. The nation, they confess the sins on there, and then they let it go, and it just goes. It's allowed to live, to move on, to be free. And in a sense, that's what was happening. Who was a scapegoat in a sense? And I'm just now thinking of this, so, hopefully I'm not wrong on thinking this. I'm just now thinking that in a sense, who was the scapegoat with Jesus? In a sense, Barabbas, let him go. It was not a casting lots per se, but it was like, he goes. He's free. And then Jesus is the true goat that dies for the sins of the world and is the one that the Lord has chosen to go in and to die on our behalf. And he shall, and then verse 9, and Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself. First, deal with his own sin. This is important when we get to Hebrews. Brian was praying that I'd teach Hebrews, so I am tonight. That's okay. Because this is related to Hebrews. Because what they emphasize, you guys want to be stuck on the Aaronic priesthood. Well, the Aaronic priesthood has to do sins for themselves, not Jesus. Jesus is a better priest because he didn't have to do it for himself, because the priest has to do all this stuff for his own sins. Verse 12, then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, which is the altar of incense, which his hands, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. He's going into the Holy of Holies, as the picture that you see there. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Put the incense, poof, on the coals. Poof. And then there's this beautiful smelling incense that goes before the mercy seat. And God's saying, only by prayer are you approaching me. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his fingers on the mercy seat and on the east side. And before the mercy seat, on the mercy seat, on the east side, and before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. So, on the east side, and then 7 times, he's just sprinkling the blood. What's 7 mean? Completeness. This is completely covering sin. Then he shall kill the goat for the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. This is the only time a sin offering for the people is brought inside the veil. Do with that the blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and to sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Now he's doing this as, at the tabernacle. Later on it became the temple when it became permanent. There shall be, this to me is really an amazing part of this. Leviticus 16:17. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. I think that is the key to when Jesus was born. And I missed this for years, decades. I haven't ever heard it taught, so I'm still qualifying it that, you know, maybe this is wrong. But let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 8, and very carefully look at the exact wording in Luke. And I think it points us back to that verse, Leviticus 16:17, about the Day of Atonement. So this is the background of Luke chapter 1. Is Zechariah and Elizabeth are childless. He is a Levite. Zacharias is a descendant of Aaron. He is therefore one of the candidates for being able to be high priest, because now at this stage in Jewish history, there's hundreds of descendants of Aaron around, and they divided them in the days of David. They divided the Aaronic descendants into courses. You know, they took different groups of high priests. And so it was, this is Luke chapter 1 verse 8, so it was that while he was serving as priest, high priest, before the Lord in the order of his division, so his division was up this year, according to the custom of the priesthood that started back in the days of David, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So, okay, so then he's got a division that's got dozens of high priest candidates. And they cast lots for this day going in to burn incense before the Lord. Now, the incense is being burned every day inside the tabernacle, but there's only one day that it's being burned in the Holy of Holies by the high priest. And I think that's what it's talking about here, is the lot came to him to be, you're going to be the guy that goes in on the Day of Atonement. Now, on all the other days, there's guys milling around inside the tabernacle. There's no prohibition in any part of the law that says that when a high priest goes inside the tabernacle for any reason associated with the Bible's law pertaining to sacrifice, nobody else can be in there. There's only one time, and it's the Day of Atonement, that nobody else is allowed to be in there. And this is important, verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Now, when is the whole multitude of the people in Jerusalem? On one of the feast days. So there's, you know, the whole multitude comes at Passover. The whole multitude is supposed to come at Pentecost. The whole multitude, and Passover, by the way, is Passover, first fruits, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. That's all within a week. And then you have Pentecost. The whole multitude is supposed to be there for Pentecost. And the whole multitude is supposed to be there for the fall feasts, which are Rosh Hashanah, the day, you know, the New Year's Day, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles. I think that the whole multitude this time is Day of Atonement, which is in the fall feast. It's in the September, October. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. It appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. Fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." Go to verse 20. But behold, you will be mute, because he didn't want to believe the angel. You'll be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. Now, there would have been no time that the whole nation is out there waiting for the high priest to get out of the temple. Because nobody else, you know, you can't send somebody else in there, go find out what's wrong. Did he fall down? In fact, some people have said there was extra biblical writings in the Mishnah or Talmud or something else that the priest would actually go in there with bells going and a rope. So that, because if he dies, because he doesn't do things right when he's there at the Ark of the Covenant, just like Nadab and Abihu, you know, drop dead because they use strange incense, what are you going to do? You can't go in there. And so they would drag him out. That was the plan. And so I think this is when Zacharias found out, sure, if Elizabeth conceived shortly after that, then Jesus, you know, when you work out the numbers of the difference in ages between John the Baptist and Jesus, then Jesus could have been born in December. And we'll leave it with that, because we got kind of long. We didn't finish all of Day of Atonement. We'll leave that till next. Actually, we're not going to leave it till next week. And I'll tell you why after we close in prayer. So, it isn't even this section that people want to avoid, isn't it full of rich meaning? When you really, you don't just think, oh man, why even learn about bulls and goats and how they're sacrificed and all this stuff? Well, if you pay attention and then you see how it affects the cleansings of uncleanness, and you just realize how it's applied to the New Testament. And it's just all about giving glory to God for what He's done to fix us, to make us whole, to give us salvation and forgiveness. And it's really amazing. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how You provided for us, and You give us a hope. And we grieve that as the rest of the world is just plodding headlong into destruction, that they haven't even got a comprehension of what it's going to be like, and so many of them are deceived, and they'll do anything except humble themselves and believe in You. But we know that there's still some out there, Lord, that You're wanting to use Your church to reach, and we pray that You would help us to bring them the truth of Your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God, and then I'll tell you what's happening next week.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve You. Create in me a clean heart, O God, I might be renewed. So fill me and heal me and bring me back to You. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve You. Clean heart, O God, that I might serve You. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might be renewed. So fill me and heal me and bring me back to You. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve You. That I might serve You.
Change me from being unclean to clean. Unclean heart, until we come to Jesus, He makes us clean, just like He makes a leper clean or like anybody clean. And then He has fellowship with us and we can worship Him. So awesome. God bless you and keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.